My name is Janice, and I go to the Crossings. And I was asked to introduce my best friend, Steph. She's a rock star. Just to let you know a little bit about Stephanie, you probably know a lot of this, but she's been married for 17 and a half years. Danny. And they have four children, two boys, Michael and James, that are grown and out of the house. And then Morgan, who's here. And Ethan. They're unfortunately still living at home. No. They need to get jobs and move out. But, and then I want to let you guys know, which you may already know, that Stephanie's going to be a grandma real soon. She's going to be a grandma. So if you haven't figured it out yet, she's older than I am. So I'm going to put that in there. She's been a Christian for over 20 years. Yeah, we're old. And I know that because I met Stephanie about the week I was baptized. So she came to, I think, my first Bible talk as a Christian. And we met and were silly. And we hit it off really well. And but I don't know, some of you guys may not know that same month I met her, I almost lost her because she was planning on ending her life. But God had great plans for her. And I just was wanting to let you guys know that it's an honor for me to know Steph. It's an honor for me to know her story and to just get to be a part of it. And it's an honor that Steph knows me. And my story, she gets to be a part of my life. I really just want to encourage you guys to allow her to speak to you today, because Stephanie's words have repeatedly over the last 20 years changed my life. And I can remember some very specific times, some very specific words that she used to make a difference. And so she has been, she still is, part of my maturity. And I count on her to be there always. So I want you guys just to open up your hearts right now and really give her permission to say the things she needs to, that God wants her to say. Because sometimes it's hard, one, to stand up here and to be vulnerable and open up your heart. But it's also hard when you know it's falling on deaf ears. And Stephanie's motive is for her growth and for yours. So please allow her words to change your life like they've changed mine. We're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come to you and we just ask that you give Stephanie the words and the heart to say what she needs to say, God. Lord, we just want you now to give her permission to say it the way she needs to say it and to be open and honest and to challenge us, God. We need that. And I was telling Stephanie, the ladies' retreat is us giving her permission to challenge us. And that's what I'm looking forward to. Lord, we love you. We pray for everyone's hearts here, that they're open and honest, and that you use Stephanie to change our lives from this moment forward. Be with her nerves, God, and just let her know how powerfully you want to use her at this moment. And so in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay, I need like a whole week to speak on this.
No, I'm just so glad that you're here in the class. And I think being here in the class says a lot about just your desire. And the ladies' retreat, I mean, what a thing. The ultimate travel or the ultimate trip. Sorry. Ultimate journey. That's it. I'm a little nervous, y'all. So if I forget some stuff in the lesson, I will talk to you personally about the other stuff that I forgot to say. No, but the ladies' retreat just theme has just been really, really wonderful this year. And I think about, you know, one of the things that Denise asked last night, remembering where did you come from, and sharing with a friend next to you. And I was just sharing too with Ruthie about what God has saved me from. And
It was just physical death. I mean, I was depressed and I was suicidal. And God says, no, you're not going to die this week, not today. I got other things for you. And so when God rescues us from things, we are so excited. We're like, oh my gosh. You mean my sins really are forgiven? But gosh, you don't know what I've done. Yeah, I do, and I still love you. And so we're excited about the journey to maturity. That's what this lesson is about. You know, we're like, God, whatever you want us to do, I'm so grateful. Maturity means that not only are my sins are forgiven, but in John 10:10, it's saying that I'm going to have an abundant life. I can have peace and joy and stability. So we ask the question in the beginning, we say, are we there yet? With excitement. And we're like, whatever you want us to do, God. And I just wanted to read some scriptures, just some other benefits of becoming, you know, becoming a Christian and traveling down this journey. I think about just in Psalms 141 through 41. We're not going to turn to the Bible there. I'm going to be quoting a lot of scripture. But one of the things that it says there, it just says that, you know, we'll be like a tree that bears fruit, something that's really, really firm. And I think about in 2 Peter 1 through 3, it says that, you know, this journey means that we can be effective and that we can be productive and that we will never fall. I'm like, oh, those things sound so attractive to me, because I just try to do things on my own. And I want you to know the things that I'm mentioning here today are the things that I need to mature in. And they're the things that we constantly need to mature in, because we'll do well and then we'll, you know, slack a little bit or forget. And God says, hey, I have a way of reminding you. Okay? The other thing, too, is that spiritual maturity, we could be someone that has a stable foundation. And I'm getting that from Matthew 7, 24 through 26, where it talks about the rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. These are all things that when we become a Christian, we're like, I want that. I want peace. I want stability. I want to be influential. I want my sins forgiven. Are we there yet? And we can't wait. And why do we even need to mature? Let's look at Philippians 3. 1 through 21, I'm going to be taking, I'm going to start in verse 1 and then I'm going to skip down. It says, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Then it's talking about watch out, you know, for dogs, for people who mutilate the flesh, for things who, for people who aren't living for Christ. And then he talks about just his own things that he, that his own gifts and talents. And then he says, if anyone thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. And then he says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. And so, you know, again, Paul is just saying, hey, I have these things, and I'm assuming that you know things about, you know, Old Testament law and different things like that. But he says, I consider those things a loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ. And all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. So again, you know, we have this goal. God's like, hey guys, I know you haven't attained it, but I want you to press on towards those things. And I think in the beginning we have the desire. And then, you know, the whole ladies retreat has been about, you know, the excitement, the journey, purpose, you know, things that God has done in our lives, and we've been excited. So I think we have that down. And just some other things that I wanted to make sure that maturity is something that we have to have. Maturity is the only way to live a spiritual life. We were meant for maturity. In Romans 8, 13 through 14, it says, if you live by the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you will live. That sounds like something mandatory. We are God's children. In 1 Peter 2, 2, part of the scripture says, we are to grow up in our salvation. And I mentioned before, just in Philippians, Paul says, I press on toward the goal which God has called me heavenward. Romans 12, 2 says, be transformed. And the reason why is so that we can test and know that God is good. James 1, 4 says, talks about just being mature and complete and not lacking anything. I'm going to go to another scripture. Let's go to Ephesians 4. I have lots of scripture. Because, and this is the reason why. Because I can get on my own agenda and soapbox. And I'm like, oh, I need to make sure it's coming from God. Which I'll talk about later. Ephesians 4, 14 through 16. So we're talking about maturity is essential. And then, you know, there's stuff that we should read before. And then it says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and the deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. And again, so we look at spiritual maturity and we're like, I want it, God. I want it. And I know every woman in here wants that. I don't think there's anyone in here that says, I don't want to grow, you know, spiritual mature. You know what? I have said that, though. And we'll talk about that, too. I picked three specific areas that we need to mature in, and I'm sure there's tons more, but these are the things that I have struggled with through my whole spiritual life, and that, you know, keeps coming up. And so God says, you need to continue to grow in these things. And I think the first thing is that we need to mature in our dependence of God. Don't we hear this every ladies retreat? The other lessons, depend on God, depend on God, depend on God. You know, Jesus depended on God, and I know I am preaching to the choir. So some things I'm just going to just kind of skim through. But I'm going to read 2 Peter 1. And depending on God, first of all, is the foundation of our spiritual growth. That's why we need to depend on God. And 2 Peter 1, it says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Though through these things he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So in 2 Peter, God is saying, I've given you everything. And I'm so glad, because sometimes I'm like, it's all on me, God. It's all on my whatever, my skills, whatever, my personality, everything. My spiritual maturity is really all on me. And God's like, no, I have given you everything that you need so that you can escape the corruption of this world. And the foundation, again, just of our spiritual growth is depending on God. And I have some other scriptures in here. I'm going to read Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. See, it is God that carries it to completion, not Stephanie, not my small group, not Tim's lesson, even though I'm like, ooh, that lesson's going to carry me through spiritual maturity. No, it's God who began this thing in my life that's going to carry it through. And so it helps me to focus on God, and not my mentor Denise or my best friend Jay or my sisters in Christ, even though I need them. But it helps me to depend on him. I'm going to read something. When we depend on God, this is what it, this is, these are some of the things that we realize. We realize that God is the source of everything, so we depend on Him. We realize that He's the creator of the world, and so and that we can't exist of ourselves. Sometimes I'm like, it's about me. I am here because I wake up every day. I get myself dressed. And God's like, girl, I woke you up this morning. I'm like, no, I think it's me. When we depend on God, too, we realize that He has control of our world. So we only have control over ourselves. When I depend on God, I don't have to worry about controlling people. Ooh, I'm a control freak. I don't know about the rest of you. I'm like, you need to be doing that, you know. We don't have to try to control our circumstances. So you will know if you're dependent on God. This is spiritual maturity. We need to learn how to depend on God, okay? So let me read some other scriptures here. First John 2 says, we know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. The man who says, I know Him, but does not do what He says is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys the word, if anyone obeys His word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. And so this is just huge. I mean, we go to church and all that, but depending on God means that we do what He says. And I know I like to treat the Bible like a buffet. Ooh, I like some of that blessing. Don't give me none of that sacrifice. Give me some of that love, yes. Some grace and mercy. What? Serve who? No way. They don't even like me. I don't even want them. They always reject me, God. And He's like, yeah, you need to depend on me. That we need to mature in. And there's just so much depending on God, and we're going to talk about it a little bit more later. The second thing we need to mature in is knowledge and wisdom.
Amen.
We study the Bible with people, and we read this scripture when we get to it. It's 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God needs us to be thoroughly equipped. And there is no way we're going to be thoroughly equipped without knowing His word. And so we need this because God is training us in righteousness, traveling to maturity. He says, come on, Steph, let's go this way. And when we grow in wisdom and knowledge, we're able to help each other. Of course, we get wisdom. We're able to save the lost, and we're able to fight Satan. Those are just some of the things. And I'm going to read some scripture here about why it's important for us to grow in knowledge and wisdom. And I wanted to tell you a little bit just about my walk with God. You know, being excited about being a baby Christian, I'm eating up the word, I'm just reading all the time, I'm reading all the time. And then, you know, I get complacent, and I'm like, well, I'm not studying as much. And I'm like, well, I don't know if I really need God's word and all these things, you know, and just every aspect of my life. And then what I find out is that, you know, I have some knowledge of God's word, but I'm not helping people because I lack wisdom. And wisdom is huge, and we're going to be reading some scripture. The reason why we need to grow in God's word is not just for knowledge, but so that we'll be able to help each other. I have given so much bad advice in the last 20, in over 20 years. I've given bad advice. I lack wisdom. And so God is like, I want you to mature in this. So look at first, I'm going to be throwing out some scriptures. 1 Peter 2:2 says, crave your spiritual milk so that you can grow up in your salvation. Hebrews 6:1 says, therefore let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. Proverbs 8:10-12. If you just want to do a study on wisdom, it's amazing. There's so much there. Proverbs 8:10-12 says, choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence.
I possess knowledge and discretion. Proverbs 14:15 says, a simple man believes anything, but a prudent man gives thoughts to his steps. And we had already read the scripture about not being tossed here and there. And so we really, really need to grow in not just knowledge, but wisdom. God needs us to give good advice to people. And sometimes we're just, you know, we're giving band-aids to people when God is trying to do heart surgery. He is trying to do some radical stuff. And I am in the way when I don't get wisdom. And I'm going to talk about how you get wisdom. You read, you know, you get with people who are wise. Please get with people who are wise. Sometimes I'm like, I'm picky. I want to talk to Janice, you know, and she's good. She's a wise woman. But I'm like, I'm going to talk to Ethan about it. I'm exaggerating, okay? Ow! Who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Mockers are unwise people. People you're sitting with, they're not wise, they're mockers. I like mockers though sometimes. I'm just saying, I struggle with this too. And it, you know, it could be more attractive, we think. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Since he delights and he meditates, this is what he's like. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Man, I want to be that tree. I want to bear fruit. I'm tired of withering. And to know that God's going to prosper the things that I do. 1 Timothy 4:7 says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tale. Rather, train yourselves to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all. We have to train ourselves. Because not like, you know, a physical human being, they're going to grow naturally sometimes unless something's wrong with them. But spiritual growth doesn't happen that way. We don't grow spiritually just by showing up at church and small group. We have to train ourselves. And so we need to be in God's Word. We need to seek advice. And we need to obey what God has to say. And I think we need to obey the wise people in our lives. In the same chapter here, in 1 Timothy 4, it says, he's telling Timothy, he says, until I come, devote yourself to public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Be diligent in this matter. Give yourselves wholly to them. And we know this Scripture because we use this in the Bible study. I'm going to go back to verse 15. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them. If you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. And sometimes I think, you know, we're like, God's word and wisdom is like optional. And God's like, no, devote yourself. Be diligent. Give yourself wholly and persevere. You're like, man, I read John 20 times, you know, and that's why we need to persevere. But like, how can I make this exciting? It says, because if you do, guess what? You're going to be saved, and you're going to be able to save others. That is not just knowledge, but it's wisdom. It's your life following what God has to say, and you being able to help someone else with that. The other thing that just supports the getting in God's Word, you guys can read this later, it's just Hebrews 5:14. And it just says, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. And that is maturity. You know, being in God's Word, where we can distinguish, ooh, that is a bad thing. Do I even want to get close to it? Or, hey, this is a really, really good thing. And God says, I promise you, if you use this Word and you get wisdom, you're going to know right from wrong. I promise. And that's exciting to me. And so these are some of the benefits that we get from just being in God's Word and having wisdom. You know, I have down here, how many can study the Bible with someone and help them become a Christian? Well, if you don't, you can. How many can find scripture to help someone who's feeling fearful or anxious? Maybe their family's persecuting them. Maybe they're losing faith. The good thing is that you can know how to do these things. And again, just talking about making sure we're giving people what they need. This is why knowledge and wisdom is so essential. I think about Jesus, and I know this is a little scripture, but Luke 2:52 says Jesus grew in stature, knowledge, and with favor of God and man. And I know it's a little scripture, but really just do some study on that. It just talks about how dependent on God he was and how he obeyed God. And he grew in wisdom and relationship. And that leads to the third thing that I think we need to grow in. And the ladies' class about relationships had touched on this, but this was something that was really on my heart. And we just need to grow and just having better relationships. I'm going to read Ephesians 4. As a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope. When you recall, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, that's traveling to this spiritual maturity, and so we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And so relationships are so, so important. And then the rest of the verse says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth, like I mentioned earlier before. You know, when Jesus was on earth, you know, he didn't model independence. You know, Jesus was with people all the time. And that's one of those things in the scripture that I'm like, I don't want that. You know, I'm like, I want to be by myself. I want some independence. But Jesus was very, very dependent. And I think about when I became a Christian, and we lived in this household, just me, Jay, and Colleen, Coral, and Sue Chapel, and relationships were key in the beginning. The relationships that I have with the women when I was a Christian for 5 years, 10 years, 12 years, 20 years, are key to my maturity. And it's so important. And so as we talk about relationships, there's just some things that I need to be, and there's some things that I think we can learn to be. And again, I may be repeating some of the things that Colleen had to say, but I think one of the things is that in relationships, we need to be dependable, meaning we need to make sure that we're training. We need to make sure that we're growing in our faith, getting with people, you know, not just our clique. I have my favorite people that I want to get with, and they so encourage me, and it's just so much fun. They challenge me too. You know, small group and church and just being sacrificial. If we want to grow in our spiritual maturity and relationships, we have to grow in being dependable. You know, I shouldn't have to wait for Denise to call me and say, Steph, you have a quiet time this week? No. She doesn't need to be asking me that. It's good because she loves me. But it is my training, and I need to be the one that says, I'm going to be a good person for you, Denise. I'm going to have my quiet time. I'm going to meet the people on Sunday who come every week. And, you know, I'm going to do the stuff that I need to do. I'm going to have my quiet times. I'm going to ask you to challenge me. And so for me, being dependable is part of that. We need to be dependable people in our relationships. And then we need to be someone who is loving. You all know 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, kind, does not envy, does not boast, it is not rude, is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. And in this, it's just, you know, I see sometimes that we're not treating each other with respect, and we need to love each other. You know, that we disregard people's feelings. We need to love each other. That's not loving. When I'm not patient with you, I don't love you. When I'm rude with you, I don't love you. And so these are the things that I need to continue to grow in, and I hope that you will too. the other thing is that, you know, Hannah talked about it, about letting people into your comfort zone, you know, not only... we need to let people love us too, not just pushing people away, but initiating the relationships outside of our comfort zone. And you will grow. I mean, come on, I'm the only black girl living with some poor white girls. You're talking about out of your comfort zone. And for them, they're like, I don't know you. And I'm like, I don't know you. You dabble back there. And, you know, just the initiation. You know, some people are just like, I don't know how to have relationships. And I really believe that we struggle in our relationships. I can be a shallow person. That is my background, not knowing how to have deep relationships. And I don't know about you, but I can assume that your background is sort of like mine. And I think God knows that. And he's saying, guys, you really need to sacrifice. You really need to learn how to have relationships. And that love relationship book that we went through this year, I was just picking it up twice a year. It's amazing. I had to read books on how to have friendships. Anybody remember the Friendship Factor book for the old heads? I had to read that book because I'm like, I don't know how to be a friend. I'm just like, hello. Yes. Well, she doesn't like me. She doesn't talk to me around too well. That's her problem. You know, it was pretty much all about me. And God's like, no, you were meant for a relationship. And relationships help mature us. Okay, so... we have good relationships in the church and stuff, but again, just work on if you're clicky or not. And I would ask people, am I clicky? Okay, and then here are some signs that get in the way that we should watch out for spiritual, that may get in the way of our spiritual growth. You know how we ask, are we there yet? This is when we start asking, are we there yet, God? I'm sick and I'm tired. I'm cynical. And I'm demanding you, am I there yet? I want to know. And these are the signs. If you see these signs in your life, these are the signs that I have off and on, but these things keep me from growing spiritually. And we all go back and forth. The first one is fear. Somebody mentioned that. We're like, what if? We're in a what if mode. What if maturity means too much sacrifice? What if it means I'll be taken advantage of? What if it means someone's rude to me? What if it means somebody will abuse me? What if I don't get a thank you? What if it makes someone angry? What if my maturity does this? And fear keeps us from growing spiritually. And I just want to answer those questions for you, the what if. You don't have to ask anymore because these things will and can happen to you. They will happen. But fear keeps us from depending on God. We're like, no, God, it's got to be my way. I don't trust you. Fear keeps us pursuing great relationships. Fear keeps us from getting wisdom, not knowledge. We can read our Bibles all day long, but it keeps us from getting wisdom. The other thing that keeps us from growing is pride. I try to get a definition of pride. It's like pride, conceit. Then it said, and I like this one, pride is a lofty and often arrogant assumption of superiority in some respect. In some respect, not all respects. And I'm a prideful dog. And so it's easy for me to see when people are prideful because I'm very, very prideful. And God is like, you can't mature spiritually if you're going to be prideful. Steph, you're thinking you're this way, and I'm trying to tell you you're this way, but you won't listen to me because nobody can tell you anything. And God is patient. He's going to let me make my own decisions. I have something else to read here. When I am prideful, do you remember how I talked about when we depend on God, we're like, God is the source? When I'm prideful, I am the source. I am relying on my abilities, my Bible knowledge. And you know what? The Crossings and Greater Alt Church, they're awesome churches. And we put on the best events ever. I mean, around us, we have talented people. Oh my gosh. I look at like what Lewis and Clark's doing, some of the things that SIUE is doing. I'm like, they have nothing on our churches because we could totally blow them out of the way. We're organized. We want it to be right and all that stuff. But when I'm prideful, I'm like, God, you're not the source. It is my own goodness. God.
That's what you want to believe.
When I'm prideful, I believe that I can control others in circumstances. If I only do A, B, and C, this person will do A, B, and C. If I read my Bible and go to church, then my small group will change, you know. And so my motives get impure when I'm prideful. My motives change. I start becoming performance-based because I want to control somebody instead of performing because I love God. The opposite of pride is humility. It's spiritual brokenness. Remember when you became a Christian? You said, God, I don't know how to run my life. I've screwed up big time. I don't know what I'm doing. Please direct me. Please direct me. And then we're like, are we there yet? Because I think I know what I'm doing better than you do. God's like, oh, but I was the one that helped you. I was the one that gave you some wisdom and knowledge. I was the one that gave you these relationships. Well, when was the last time you did that for me? You know? And I get prideful, and God's like, it's not you, Steph. It's me. And your pride is keeping you from getting wisdom. You're not dependent on me. And you don't care about the people around you because you think you're better than everybody else. Pride can keep us from, whether we think we're better or it can be the opposite. Oh, I'm not good enough. That is pride. And you're saying, God, I refuse to let you be in control. I'm going to control this. I'm not good enough. I do A, B, and C. Oh, my gosh. God's like, just let me forgive you. Let other people forgive you and quit trying to control everything.
That's right.
And so pride can keep us from that. And then I think the other thing that keeps us from growing is sin. We know sin. And I'm not going to talk about, like, the obvious sins, like, you know, smoking marijuana, you know. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going back to the... Obvious sins, you know, obvious lying, you know, sexual immorality, you know, Galatians. This is the type of sin that I'm talking about. Let's go to James 4. James 4:17. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. See, you know what? We have grown so much. We say, God, I'm going to stop smoking. I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to stop partying. I'm going to quit having sex. I'm going to quit cussing. And God's like, great. Now let's work on some heart issues as well, the internal stuff. Like, you know you need to sacrifice more. God, I'm already meeting with people 4 or 5 times during the week. And don't ask me to do nothing else. All the people that know me know I'm like that. I'm like, this week, I'm like, don't ask me to do another thing. And I am like that. And so doing the good that you know that you ought to do, there are so many needs in the church. And I don't know how you're treating your small group leader. I don't know how you're serving one another. I don't know if you're building relationships with people that you know you need to build, be building the relationships with. People that know me know that I am just like passionate about this. We need to do the things that are good. Not that's convenient. God's blessed us. See, I'm comfy in my home and money. I'm comfortable. And God's like, there's plenty of good things that still need to be done. Who's going to clean the bathrooms at the church? Who's going to serve an extra hour cleaning up after a big event? I'm not. And God's like, yeah, you need to be. And so again, you know, doing the things that we know we ought to do, we know that we need to be getting with our mentor. If your mentor is not doing what they need to do, you need to go talk to them. And then you need to tell them, I'm going to bust you out. So come on with me. Let's go over here. Because there's certain things that they need. And it's okay, guys. This is spiritual maturity. And that's us helping each other. So, how do we get back on track? We know these things. Repentance is about the attitude and the attitude and the heart. We need to get rid of our fear, pride, and sin. When we see it happening, we need to get rid of it immediately. And God is waiting. He cannot wait to restore us. Here's a scripture in Isaiah 40:28. It says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth.